We begin the current daf, Masechtas Chagiga daf Yud Aleph. We begin 12 lines down at the top of the Yamed, where we continue the halacha of our Mishnah, which we had mentioned in the previous daf, certain categories, Me'ila, Chagiga, certain halachas that were like mountains hanging from a here, which our Gemara quotes that the Mishnah had said that those are what's called Mikramut v'alachas merubas. Because why are they like mountains hanging from a here? Because there's very few psukim really specifying, which our Gemara explained what are the specific subcategories of those categories that it's referring to. But halachas merubas and many halachas, and therefore it's like mountains hanging from a here. Now, similarly, the Gemara brings Tana Braisa. Negoim, the laws of a negab tziras, but always, and that of the tumma of oil in the same overhang. Mikramut v'alachas merubas. That's also, like we said in the Mishnah, very few psukim and many halachas. Which the Gemara asks, Negoi mikramut, the halachas of a negev tzaras have very few psukim. Negoi mikramurubu, tazriya, mitzer, we have many psukim that talk about the halachas of negev. So my papa is in the halachim, but this is how you have to amend the reading of the braisa. Negoyim, the laws of negev tzaras, is actually the opposite. That's mikramurubu v'alachas moed. There's actually many psukim talking about it, and few halachas. Ahala is the laws of Tumas Oyel, that's Mikramut v'alachas merubas, like we said in our Mishnah, like Tumah, that have few psukim and many halachas. Now, says Gemara, what's the difference? Many psukim, few psukim. So to tell you that imistap kolach milsab negoim, what the Bryce is trying to do is actually trying to contrast for you. If you have a doubt regarding the laws of negoim, ayin b'kroi, look at the psukim, because that's where it primarily is. Vimistap kolach milsab ba'alas. Now, if you have a doubt regarding the laws of Oyelas, I must need to learn the Mishnahis of Masechtas Oyelas. And therefore, that's what the Bryce was trying to tell you. Then I look at the Mishnah, that we had a different category of things, that there is what to rely on. And these things are written very much in the Torah. Dinin are the laws of judgment. Now, the Gemara asks, Michtav Ksivan. What essentially the Gemara is asking, the way Rashi explains, is that it's written, meaning, and it's very explicit in the Torah. The Mishnah just said that there's what to rely on. Sounds like, but it's not explicit. In contrast to the previous categories, is even less than that. But why are you saying it's what to rely on if it's really straight out of the psukim? So as we had explained in the previous categories, that we're talking about specific cases, here also we're saying, Leinitzcha elik de rabbi. In other words, there are certain things regarding monetary law that are not so explicit. For example, the case that we're saying, and things that would be similar to that. And that's what we refer to when there's what to rely on, but it's not really so explicit. They sound like learn the braisa. Rabbi Eimer says in the Pasuk in Shemais, which is an explicit pasuk, but it's not so clear. It says, nefesh tachas nefesh. If there's going to be some type of a mortality where there's two people fighting and there's a woman that's collateral damage, that if the woman dies, so then you have to give a soul for a soul, which Rebbe said that means mammon. Actually, you have to give the monetary value of the woman who passed away to her inheritors, where there is no death penalty, to say literally a life for a life, because this man who killed her didn't intend for her. He was actually fighting with his friend. Like it says, the people that were fighting, which Rebbe holds that if you intended to kill a person and you ended up killing someone else, you're actually exempt from the death penalty, and rather you're going to pay a monetary payment. On that says, Rebbe, Atoim Mammon, do you really say that it's a monetary payment? Or Ein Ela Nefesh Mamash, maybe it means to say literally a life for a life. On that, we learn that Nemr, it says, Nesina Lamata. It says, V'nesata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, which is later on the Pesukim, which is what the Pesuk we're referring to. Now, V'nem Nesina Lamala, in the same parish it says previously, here in Shemais Chav Aleph, it talks about when this woman gets injured, she was pregnant. So earlier in the Pesukim, it talks about when she loses the pregnancy, when the fetus dies, what's called Demei Vlodois, which the monetary value of the fetus, the Pesuk says, V'nasam Beflilam, that you're going to give it with judges, which that's clear, Ma'al HaLamam HaJuzik, over there it's talking about the monetary value of the pregnancy. Afkan Mamon here also, when it talks about the giving of the Nefesh, what does Nefesh mean? It means the value of the Nefesh, but not an actual Nefesh itself. That halacha is not so explicit, but there is what to rely on with this comparing of the two Nesinas, and that's what we're referring to in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Avodis, the laws of service in the Beis HaMikdash of the Karbanis, that there's what to rely on. So the Gemara says, Mechtav Ksim, what do you mean? The laws of Avodah are explicit. We have Sefer Vayikra, so much that talks about the Avodah. What is it that it's what to rely on? So the Gemara, Le'nitzcha Ela Halachas Hadam. We need it only for things like transporting the blood, which is four avoidance by every carbon, shchita, kabbalah, hilocha, and zirika, slaughtering, receiving the blood, transporting the blood, and for the spraying of the blood. The transporting is not so explicit. It's kind of like Luna Brysa. Pasuk says that they're going to slaughter the young cattle in front of Hashem. The kerivai and the sons of Aaron are going to bring the blood near to the Mizbeach, and they're going to spray the blood. Now, what is ve'kerivai? Zu kabbalah sadam. That refers to the receiving of the blood. But the afkerachmon b'loshon halacha, but although it's referring to the receiving, But the terminology used is that of transporting. That's what hikriv means, to bring it near, which is to transport. So although it's a terminology of transporting, like we can explain, but it's actually referring to the receiving of the blood, because it's right after in the pasuk regarding slaughtering, and next thing it mentions is vikriva. Now, you can't transport if you didn't receive the blood. So obviously it's referring to the receiving, but it's in the terminology of transporting. How do we know that the hikriv means transporting? The Chassid says in another pasuk, the hikriv ha-koyin is ha-kol, the koyin is going to be makriv, bring near all of that. The hikriv ha-mizbech, and he's going to burn the mizbech. That says in the context of the limbs, not regarding the blood that we're discussing over here. It says that the intestines and the that you're going to wash it in water, and the kohen is going to be makriv everything, and he's going to burn down the mizbech. Now, the master says, what's this vehikriv? This refers to the transporting of the limbs to the ramp, because if it'd be like we call hakravas or korban, like we sometimes use it in the term of burning it on the mizbech, but that says explicitly the next words in the pasuk, the hikta mizbecha. So what does vehikra mean? It means bring it near, which is the halacha. To remember, to tell you why we talk about Kabbalah through the medium of the word halacha. The halacha laftafka mechlal Kabbalah, that the transporting will not leave the category of receiving the blood for all its halachas. So although technically halacha is a service, is one of the four that you really don't have to do, because if you want to, you could slaughter the korban right on the side of Mizbech and spray the blood over there. You wouldn't have to transport it anywhere. But when you did not nullify it and you are transporting, it is an avoida. And therefore, if let's say the kohen, when he's doing it, he has a machshava of pigul that it should be eaten beyond its time, that would invalidate it. And also that it needs to be done with a kohen and with kohanic garments, and that it's invalid if he's an einin or he's sitting or he's an aral. That's what we're saying, that halacha will have all the halachas of Kabbalah. That halacha of halachas of Dhamma is not so explicit. It's just that we use the terminology of Kabbalah in the word that would mean halacha. That's what we mean, but yesh lema amal ismach. Another category our Mishnah spoke about was taharas. That there is what to rely on for the psukim of the laws of taharas of purification. So what do you mean, what to rely on? Mechtav ksivin, the laws of purification are explicit in the Torah. No, it's only necessary l'shir mikvah, for the measurement of how much the gathered waters that a person who's tummy immersed himself in, that's not explicit, but there's what to rely on. Because the like ksivah is not written, because it's not like Luna Bryce. It says a pasuk in Yikra, v'rochatz b'mayim, and he washes in the water. Now, it doesn't say b'mayim, it says with a patach, b'mayim. B'mayim sounds like in the specific designated waters. What does that mean? Not in any waters. It has to be b'may mikvah, specifically in the gathered waters, meaning it's coming to school, it's called mayim shuvim, when you drew the waters. But doesn't have to be what's called mayim chayim, spring waters, live waters. Because from the fact, by a zav, the pasuk in Yikra as well explicitly says, has to be mayim chayim, living waters. The inference is, all of the tameim, that it doesn't say that, doesn't have to be living waters. So what does it mean, b'mayim, in the waters? It means the designated waters of the mikvah waters, meaning even though it's rainwater, as long as it wasn't actively drawn by a person, that's what is qualified for the purification. That's one thing. Main thing is, the next thing. It says that he's going to wash in the water as kol besari, his whole flesh. What does that mean? It means mayim shukol gufay oilban. It means you have to dip yourself in water that your whole body could go into, which is kol besari. Now, v'kamehin, how much water is that? So if we're going with the height of a person, he has to go into the water, it's amal ama burim sholesh amas. It's an amas squared, which is his width and thickness, by a height of 3 amas, which is like around 6 feet, which is how high a person is, which tries to discuss exactly the parameters of that, but v'shir chacham mei mikvah. And the chacham evaluates, so how much is that would be in measurement of volume? That would be arba amsa, 40 sa. That's the measurement of mikvah. That's not so explicit in the Torah. That, but yet, what we say is yeshel amal esmeichu, of the laws of purification. Next item the Mishnah mentioned, also in this category, is tumas, the laws of tumas. Says Gemara, what do you mean, mechtav ksivin? All the tumas are written in the Torah. What do you mean, this is what to rely on? Says Gemara, le'nitzchah, no, it's only necessary, ele kadoshim and asheretz. You mean when you have the size of a lentil from one of the dead bugs that contaminates, a dead vermin. So like, but that's not written explicitly in the Torah. But that's what to rely on the time that we learn the Braisa. Pasuk says that these are the things that are tummy for you in all the Shrotzim. It says, whoever's going to touch Bohem in them. In them sounds like Yochab HaKulin, that the tummy is only if you touch the entirety of the Sheretz. Tamalema, that's what there's another Pasuk that says, whatever's going to fall from them, may on him, mayhem from them. But Moisem, when they're dead, Yitma's going to make him tummy. So it's from them. Mem is like, sounds like, okay, Yochab HaMekutzasas. You would think it's enough from part of them. No, but then Tamil and Bohem, you have the other part that says in them, which sounds like all of them. So how can you resolve these two psukim of Bohem, sounds like all of it, and Mehem, which sounds like some of it? It means, it means that you're only going to be Tamil if you touch part of it, Shugukuli, which is like all of it. What does that mean? Shir Chacham Bekadosh, the sages evaluated that to be the size of a lentil. Why? Shekein Chaymit, because Rashi says that that's referring to a snail, which has a process of how it develops, that Tchilasit Bekadosh, it starts off like the size of a lentil. And since you, that, if you're going to take from the full snail, a part of it, which is like the whole thing of it, how it starts off, that size of lentil is not explicit in the Torah. That's what is what to rely on. Or Bisa Bihudam, he says, the reason why it's the size of a lentil is Kiznav Haltal, which is really the size of the tail of a lizard. Now, the reason is, why is that like some, which is like all of it? Because when a person cuts off the tail of a lizard, it continues to shake. And so therefore, it's like part like all, because it still has like its own life. So that's a part like soul, that's the size of a lentil. That's not so explicit. And that's what we're saying is what to rely on from the Pesukim. And that's regarding the laws of Tumah. The next category the Mishnah spoke about was Arayis, the laws of forbidden relationships. So, what do you mean? What's Rolai? Mechtik Sibin, all these forbidden relationships, you have a whole list. What is forbidden as forbidden relationships? So, Zigmar Leinitzko, no, it's only necessary only for, as a Ketintim and Beis, Lebitoy Manus Sase, to his daughter from the woman that he raped, that he violated, for him to have relations with that daughter, the Lake Siva. That's actually not explicit in the Torah. Because in regards to the daughter from his wife, that the Torah says in Mikra Yotches, it says, Ervas Isha Ubita Lo Segala. The relationship to have with a woman and her daughter sounds like it's his wife's daughter, whether it's they had the daughter together or whether she had the daughter from another man. But his wife's daughter, that we know is forbidden. Now, there's another pasuk that says the Erva, which is to have a relationship, of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, that's forbidden. Now, the Gemara Yevamos of Tzadik Zayin Amanav explains that that daughter that you're talking about, her daughter, is the daughter you have from the woman that you violated. How do you know that? Because the pasuk doesn't mention, as it often does, that it says, oh, a woman and her daughter's daughter or her son's daughter. No, it doesn't say anything about a woman. Because we're actually talking about a daughter that was only born from the man. How so? Because he actually has no relationship with the woman. It's a woman that he violated, that he raped. We're talking about that daughter's daughter. Now, in that pasuk of the Anusa, that the woman that he violated, it only mentions what's forbidden from the woman he violated, her daughter's daughter or her son's daughter, meaning his, because it's only related to him. It's not related to him that he has from a wife. But it doesn't mention about the daughter of the woman he violated. It doesn't mention about the daughter being forbidden for him. Now, if one's going to say, wait a second, isn't that a kavuchemer? If the granddaughter of the Anusa is forbidden, for sure the daughter. No, there's a concept called imas himen adin. You cannot give prohibitions from logic, and neither can you give punishments from a kavuchemer. Now, regarding monetary law and positive commandments and the halachas of avodah and invalidations of karbanos, that you can learn from a kavuchemer, but not prohibitions and not punishments, which we learn from Pesukim in Masechtas Makkos of Hema Beis. So the question would be, then how do we know that a man is forbidden to the daughter of the woman that he raped and that he had that daughter from that relationship? That's not explicit, and that's what we're saying. Arayis is what to rely on. Because the Merabi says, Omer Yitzchok Bravadimi says, we know it from Gzeira Shava. Asya Heina Heina, which that teaches the prohibition. Everything has to have a prohibition and a punishment. And Asya Zima Zima, which teaches us the punishment of Sreifa, being burnt. What is this limud? It says by a married relationship, it says Shara Heina, they are relatives. Zimhi, it's Zima, it's something that's an abomination. Now, that's regarding when he has relatives from the woman that he's married to. Now, it says by the woman that he raped, it says Kiravascha Heina. It says the same terminology of Heina. So just like the word Heina that mentions by the woman that he's married to, the pasuk equates her daughter, like her daughter's daughter and like her son's daughter, so too by Einsin, the pasuk is going to equate his daughter, like his daughter's daughter, and like his son's daughter. That we know from Heina. Because they're comparing, just like by marriage, it's the same, because that explicitly mentions about the daughter. So too, by the Anusa, which doesn't mention the daughter, Heina is telling us it has the same Isser. So too, we have Zima Zima for Sreifa. Because once you're telling me that you learn Anusa from Nesua, as we said from Heina, now by Nesua, by the woman that he's married to, it says Zimahi. So it's like as if it said that word by the Anusa too. Now you could go learn out that Sreifa applies. Because there's a pasuk in Meyukah Chav that says, and a man that's going to take a woman and her mother, it's Zimahi, and Be'esh Yisrael, they get the burning, they're going to get burnt in fire, Oysa B'Sen, him and them. So you see that Zima means Sreifa. So just like it says Zima over there, and it says Zima by the Nesua, and if it's a Zima by Nesua, it's like it says it by the Anusa, because Heina Heina compares the two of them. So that's how we know that there's going to be a punishment of Sreifa when having a relationship with Bitim and Asasi. But that's not explicit in the Torah, but this is Yesh Amalas Moichel. Now the Mishnah concluded this parak by saying, Heinen Gufer Torah. These are things that are primary texts of the Torah. So the Gemara wonders, Hani? Those things that we explicitly mention in, they are Gufei Torah, they're the fundamental of Torah. Bahanach, all the other things that we didn't mention in this category, Loi are not Gufei Torah. How can you say that? Elaimer, rather, what the Gemara says is, what the Mishnah means to say is, that Hein Vehein, that this and these are all Gufei Torah, they're all primary principles of Torah, even though, again, they're not so explicit. And Yeshmal Ismaichu, we could have Aaron's Limbisaira. We're saying they're all primary fundamentals of the Torah, even though, again, if they're not so explicit in the Torah. Hadnulah HaKochayav, we shall return to the first parak, second Chagiga, parak HaKochayav, which, again, as the title of this parak was, everyone's obligated in Mitzvah Re'iyah, that's what primarily spoke about, the Oilus Re'iyah and the Shalmei Chagiga. Now, with that, we begin and we continue with the second parak, parak Endarshan, which, as the next word of this Mishnah says, that one does not expound Ba'arayas, which regarding the laws of forbidden relationships, which continues the theme of the previous mission that we spoke about, that halacha of arayis, that it's kaharam tluyin, that we're saying that these are things which are yeshma lehem amal lismaychu. So we continue with that theme, and then the following mishnayos go back to the topic of this, the first parak and this mesechta, that of the karmi chagiga, and also the purification that's required for karbanis in general and for that of the chagiga. So the mission begins in dershim ba'arayis. We don't expound. We don't teach the laws of forbidden relationships, bishleisha. Initially, the Gemara assumed that what they mean to say is with a sum total of three, meaning two students, and him, the third one, is the teacher. And v'leib b'maisa b'reishas b'shnayim, needed to expound the acts of creation, which Taisa brings from Rabbeinu Tam, actually refers to the God's 42-letter name, which actually comes out of the pasuk b'reishas and the pasuk after that. We don't expound these great Kabbalistic secrets bishnaim with two, which initially the Gemara understands that to mean the teacher and the student. And v'loy b'merkava b'yachad. And one does not expound the heavenly chariot, which is in the Sefarim of Nach, which are the great Kabbalistic secrets of the chariot, even if he's just by himself, which the Gemara is going to explain. So what does it mean when the Mishnah says, El mekin ha'yachacham mev medaita, unless he's intelligent and he understands on his own? I thought you can't even expound it as an individual. Or if you are, obviously you're a chacham and maybe medaita because no one's teaching it to you. But be that as it may, the Mishnah continues in a related discussion of not darshaning maisa bereshis, the kolam estakel ba'ba dvarm. Whoever looks at the following four things that we're going to say, rasuloi ki'ilu le'bolayim, he would have been better off had he not come to the world. What are the four things? Mala mala, what's above the sky, meaning on top of the chayis, which are these types of heavenly creatures. Or malamata, which one interpretation is what's beneath them, or another interpretation is what's beneath the earth. Malafonim, what's before, meaning what's beyond our galaxy towards the east. And Malachar, what's behind us towards the west. Or another interpretation means what was before the world and what's going to be after the world. These four things a person should not look at. And whoever is not concerned with the honor of his creator, which we must explain what's that going on, again, it's better off for the person had he not come to this world in the first place. And the Gemara asks, Amid Bereisha, you said in the beginning of the Mishnah, that meaning in this statement, of that when it comes to the heavenly chariot of the great Kabbalistic secrets brought in the Svarm of the Ksuvim, one should not analyze it as an individual. Now, since he's individual, he's not hearing it from a teacher, so obviously he'd be someone that would understand on his own. And still you're saying, even so, because obviously if he's by himself, he's a very deep person, you're saying he cannot learn as an individual. But then you say, unless if he was wise and he could understand on his own. I thought even as an individual, he can't learn it. So it says, no, Hachima, so the Gemara amends the statements that we started off, that the Mishnah is saying it's not really bishleisha and bishnaim and biyachad, it's actually with a lamed. Hachikama, ein dershin barayis lishleisha. You're not supposed to expound the parasha of forbidden intimate relationships to three people. So we're not counting with the one who's darshaning. The Rebbe is not counted in this list. You cannot expound to three people. And one should not teach the acts of creation to two people, and for sure not to three people. And not with the heavenly chariot to one person, meaning to one single student. Unless if that student was intelligent and he understands things on his own, then he's not going to have to ask the teacher when he's not sure about something, because it's not really appropriate to be specific about these ideas. So therefore that resolves how we understand the halacha of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah said, "In Dershin Barayis Bishleisha," which we just amended that to mean, one does not expound the laws of forbidden relationships to three people. Says, "In my time, what's the reason? Why would three people be something that one should not expound to in this topic of Arayis?" Elim Mishum Nechsev, if you think it's based on the passing of Yerka that says, "Ish, ish, I'll call Sheir Basari," every single man, to the flesh that's a relative of his, which he's forbidden to be intimate with. Now, ish, ish is trey. A man, there's one plus one is two. And it says, Sheir Basari, the relative of his flesh, it's again, Bisaroi, Ischad, it's another one that would make a total of three. Now, there's three men. V'amrachman, the Torah is telling you, Lois Sikuvu, don't come close to each other, Legalis Erva, to reveal about this halach of Arayis. So all three of you should not get together and discuss the parash of Arayis. And that's the source of the halacha. Says, so, wait, Elinat, if that's the case, what do you do with the pasuk of Yerkid that says, Ish, ish, ki, kal, elikav. A man that will curse his God. Or ish ish ashiyit mezar lamaylach, or a man that's going to give from his children to the avodah zarah maylach. Hachinami, you're going to tell me that there it's only when you have two people or three, it's not going to be when you're individual doing because it's ish ish. Ella rather hanu mebayile. No, those ish ish you need to add on not just a regular yisrael, but the rabbis es anachim. The reason why I say another time the word ish to include even a gentile shemisharan al bechas Hashem, that they're forbidden those laws that those pesukim mentioned the word ish a second time. One is not to curse God. And also regarding the laws of idolatry of Melech, to say that he has the same halacha, he's like a Jew. So if that's the case, here also when it says ish ish in the parsha of Arayis, is just the rabbis and Nachum, the Ku Gentiles, Shemeshon al Arayis, Kisrael, just to say that they have the same prohibition on forbidden relationships like Jews. So you don't have a source for three people forbidden to discuss the parsha of Arayis. So El Rabbi says the Gemara, no, a different source. It says, you should safeguard my safeguarding of the abominations that were done in front of you and don't defile the land of Eretz Yisrael that you're coming to, which refers to the Canaanim that they were very steeped in immorality. So what does it say? Ushmartim es mishmarti. You have ushmartim is trei, that's a plural, that's two people. Mishmarti is singular, is chad, is one. Two plus one is three. And v'amrachman, the Torah is telling you, levilti asleis mechuk asat eves, and not to do from the statute of these abominations. You see, when it comes to Arayis, three people should not be discussing these laws. Says, well, not if that's the case. A similar question that we asked before, Dechsib. So it says the Pasuk in Shemayis, Ushmartem es haShabbos, you should safeguard the Shabbos. That's also Shmartem is plural of two. And when it says Ushmartem es haMatzis, you should safeguard them, the Matzis, it's also plural. Ushmartem es Meshmeret HaKadosh, you should safeguard the safeguard of the holy things. Achanami can tell me that these halachas only apply by two people because it's Ushmartem? Elam HaRashi, rather Ravashi says, a different interpretation. It's not based on Pesukim. My induction by Rais Bishleisha, what does it mean that we don't expound the laws of forbidden relationships to three people? It means induction besisri Rais Bishleisha. We don't discuss the hidden, meaning the halachas of Rais that are not so explicit in the Torah, as we explained on the top of this Amid. Like, for example, the daughter from the woman that he violated, or his father-in-law's mother, or his mother-in-law's mother, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Ein Heim and Alf learns that from Joshua's, they're not so explicit. Those things to say that they're forbidden should not be taught to three students at one time. Says, well, my time, what's the reason of that? Says, well, so it's a logic. Because Beitre, when you're teaching to two students, Kiyasri Kamed Abai, when they're sitting in front of their teacher, so Chad Shokel B'Tar B'Had Rabbi, the Rebbe is giving the shir, and one person starts having a conversation with the teacher, with the halacha, asking on the halacha. Now, V'idach, the other one, he's alone, Matzli Udnei L'Gemar, he's going to pay attention, he's going to turn his ear to hear this conversation. When there's three students, so Chad Shok of a Torah Hadi Rabbi, one student, one bocha, he's asking in and he's handling with the Rabbi. V'hanach Trei, what the other two students are Shok of a Torah Hadi Rabbi, now they're discussing amongst themselves. But the Yodah might come in by, they're not going to know what the teacher is saying to that one that's discussing with them. But also the Mishri is through the Baradais, and they can end up permitting what's really forbidden in the laws of forbidden relationships because they didn't hear from the teacher when he expounded and he says that this is Aser, the Bita Menasasa, you're the mother-in-law's mother, or things like that. But says, if that's the case, that you might miss out on the shir because you're discussing with someone else with you. So called Taranami, then all of Torah should not be allowed to be taught to three students. You should always only have a shir of two people because you might miss out on one of the halachas. So the Gemara, Rayashani, forbidden relationships, intimate relationships are forbidden, are different because the Amamar, because the Master says in the last Mishnah of Sechtas Makkot of Chav Gimel and Beis, that Gezel Barayis, when it comes to theft and forbidden immoral relationships, Navshay Mecham Dasan, a person's soul desires them, Umesav them, and he lusts for them. And therefore, that's something that the person's going to rationalize and he's going to end up falling in because he didn't really explicitly hear. Well, if that's the case, there's one more category, Gezel Nami. Then the laws of robbery should also only be taught not to three people, just like it also a person lost after. Says the Gemara, no, they're still different, because they're rai, forbidden relationships. Bein befonav, bein shalei befonav. Whether the woman is in front of him or not in front of him, not for shitzri. A person has a great desire and lusting for. In contrast, Gezel regarding robbery, befonav. It's only when he sees in front of him his ability to steal something, then not for shitzri. Then he has a great inclination. If it's not in front of him, he doesn't have such a great, people don't just walk around feeling the need to steal, and therefore, it's specifically regarding the Pasha of Arayis that we say, don't darshan to three students, because two of them might be discussing and missing out on the conversation. It could only be that of two students. Next halacha of the Mishnah was, and when you're discussing the laws of creation, the heavenly acts, so then that should not be to two students even. Says Imam Manan, immediately, where do we know this from, that even two are not supposed to be asking in Maaseh Bereishis, only teaching to one person. The Tanna Rabbanan learned the Braisa. Plus says in Devarim, Kisha'alno liyam rishayna. Because if you're going to ask about the earlier days, which refers to the acts of when the world started off, it says Sha'al in the singular, Yachad Sha'al, only one person could ask, which is Maaseh Bereishis. Bein Shnayim Sha'alim, but two people cannot be asking. Now, Yachal Yishal Adam, you would think a person could ask what was, even before when the world was created, you can ask what originally was. Now, that's the pasuk teacher, but only from the day that God created man on the land. Well, based on that, you would think a person cannot ask what was in the 6 days of creation, because it only says from the day that God created man, then you're allowed to ask about. Now, man was created on Erev Shabbos, on day six. That's the pasuk teaches, to the earlier days that was before you, meaning already from day one of creation. Now, Yochel Yishal Adam, and this is related to the other halacha of a Mishnah, Yochel Yishal Adam, you think a person could ask, Malamala, what's above, Malamata, what's beneath, Malafanim, what's before, Malacha, what's behind? Tamalam, it's supposed to teach us, no. You could ask, Ulam Ktsiashamim, Ad Ktsiashamim, from one end of the heaven to the other end of heaven. Meaning, you could ask about from one end of heaven to the other end of heaven. But you cannot ask malamala, what's above that, malamata, what's beneath that, malafanim, what's before that, and malacha, and what's behind that. Now the Gemara continues to talk about Bezim and Alf and says, wait, hash to the nafkele, but now that you're learning it out, that you're not allowed to ask what is beyond the limits of our known world. Now, by default, that automatically tells us that you're forbidden to ask what was before the world was created, because that's exactly the same thing. What was before the world was created is now beyond the parameters of our world as we know it. So then, so then that part of the puzzle that says that you could ask from the day that God created man on earth, lumali, what he needed for to exclude what was before the world was created, you don't. You already learned that from the other positive pasuk of the Miktsash Mamad of Kitsash Mai. So the Gemara, right, that's Kedir Rebbe Lazar. That comes to teach a different idea, that of Rebbe Lazar. The Rebbe Lazar, he says, Od Merishin, the first man, Min Oritz Ad L'Rikia. His height was from earth up until the sky. Shemek says in the pasuk, and that's the pasuk that we're using for this drasha, L'Menayim, from the day Asher Bar L'Kim Adam Al Oritz, that God created man on the earth. And it says, Ul Miktsash Mam, until the ends of the heaven, meaning he was on earth, but he reached till the heavens. But Bekim and Shesarach, once he soured, and that he committed the sin of the Itz Hadas, Henicha Kadosh Baruch Hu Yodah B'Lo B'Mitay, God, so to speak, put his hands on him, and he diminished him. Shemaik says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ochor V'Kedem Tzartani, man says, later and earlier you formed me. Meaning, the Adam was formed two times. First, very high, and then ultimately very low, which was Vatashas L'Kapecha, because you put your palm on me. And so to Omer Abiyudim Rav, he says, Ad Merishin, the first man, Misefa Oil Mad Seifa Haya. He was from one end of the world to the other end of the world, meaning when he would lay down, his head would be all the way in the east, and the leg would be all the way in the west, would go around the whole world. So Mike says in the Pasuk, L'min Hayyem HaShabar L'kim Ad Mal Aretz, from the day that God created man on the earth, well, M'Ktzeh HaShemem, from one end of the heaven to the other end of the heaven. M'Kim HaShasarach, once he soured, God placed his hands on them and he diminished him. Like it says in the Pasuk, that you put your palm on me. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, these two psukim contradict each other. Was he as high from the earth to the heaven? Or was he as high from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth? The Gemara says, they're actually both the same measurement. It's the same distance from the earth to the heaven as it is from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. Which Taisus brings, I think more later on, the Yud Gimel, that's a distance of 500 years. Where do we know this from? Because it says God's name is Shaddai, which is Shakai, where it's Sha'omar Lo'elomai Dai. He said to the world, enough. meaning that it should not continue to expand, which it says in the pasuk, Ani Kel Shakai, I am the God of Shakai, Pereirevei, the world's not going to, but you be fruitful and you multiply. Which Hashem says, I said enough for the world. Which Taisa says, but it's a wonder, where do you see from Shakai that the world is a distance of 500 years and not more, not less? So Taisa says, he heard from Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Zeal, that we learn now actually from the name of Shakai, because the name Shakai has three letters, Shin, Dalet, and Yud. Now, if you take what's called the hidden letters from Shakai, meaning Shin, if you don't take the Shin, which that's revealed because it's in the spelling of the name, but the Yud Nun is not visible. So you take the Yud Nun of Shin, and you take the Lamed Saf of Dalas, and you take the Vav Dalet of the Yud, which are hidden, they come out to the numerical value of 500, and that's how we know from that name itself that the world itself is a distance of 500 years.